Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Singing Machine year-end earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask your question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call is being recorded. I'll be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the fiscal 2019 earnings call. We have a brief safe harbor, and we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I would like to turn the call over to Gary Atkinson, CEO of The Singing Machine.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Gary Atkinson, Chief Executive Officer of Singing Machine. I also have with me this morning Lionel Marquis, company CFO, and Bernardo Mello, VP of Sales and Marketing. I want to thank everybody this morning for taking the time. I know it's a July 4 weekend, so appreciate everyone taking the time to listen in on the discussion of our fiscal year-end earnings report, which was announced earlier this morning. We're going to kick off the call today by turning it over to Lionel Marquis, who will give us a deeper dive into some of the highlights of the financials.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for attending. I just wanted to touch base on some financial highlights for the quarter. I'm going to place a little caveat in front of everything and just say you're going to hear toys a lot. Toys R Us mentioned a lot during the presentation. Toys R Us having been our biggest, second biggest customer. And the loss of them was significant, and it impacted pretty much everything throughout the financials. That having been said, I may mention it a lot, but I think this is it. We're ready to put Toys R Us behind us and move forward. So after this presentation, hopefully I don't mention much of Toys R Us anymore. So that having been said, last year we did approximately $60.8 million in sales versus $46.5 million in sales. That's a $14.3 million drop in sales, of which Toys R Us accounted for approximately $10 million, or 70% of that decrease. We also had one holiday SKU at a major customer that we did not receive this past year as opposed to last year as well. I think we were hoping and we expected that most of the major retailers would pick up the slack on what Toys R Us left behind in terms of the market, but they were extraordinarily slow to react in terms of being cautious. And most of the orders from the major retailers that we have and our customers were placed very late during the year. And it left an opening in the market. I believe there was a demand that was not fulfilled in the market, but nonetheless, that was the fact that upset our sales for the entire year. We did gross profit of $11.8 million versus $15.7 the year before. The volume and sales drop was the primary reason for the decrease in the gross profit margin. We did hold profit margins pretty well, though, at 25.3 versus 25.8. Toys R Us having been a very strong margin customer, we were able to make up for some of that as we did get some cost concessions from our vendors, a lot having to do with the flux in the Chinese currency, the renminbi. But we were able to hold margins in the 25% area. Selling expenses increased by approximately $200,000 despite the drop in revenue. We had to, at the end of last year, we ended up with a lot of inventory related to Toys R Us and to another vendor who we had some issues with that did not take what they forecasted. So having ended up the year at approximately $2.5 million in inventory more last year, we needed to increase our advertising allowances in order to move that excess inventory from the prior year out, and we managed to do so. So that portion of it was a success. We also did an increase in discretionary marketing to try and develop new markets, which will be talked about in a little bit later in this program. Our G&A expenses went from 5.8 million, went to 5.8 million. They were 6.3 million last year. That 0.6 million in decrease, approximately 600,000. Several areas we tried to cut back in administrative, some travel expenses, stock option expenses, some reimbursements from third-party logistics by approximately $200,000 also helped us curb those G&A expenses. One of the biggest line items that shows up in the profit and loss statement is the bad debt expense slash recovery. Last year, during the fiscal year ended March 31st, 2018, we took a $3.1 million bad debt expense or write-off, if you will, for the Toys R Us bankruptcy. This year, we were able to recover approximately $500,000, almost $500,000 of those administrative costs that we had previously written off in the prior year. So the difference between the prior year and this year was approximately $3.6 million pickup, and that certainly helped to make up for some of the bottom line here on in terms of our performance for the year. Net income before tax provision was approximately $100,000 increased over the prior year, approximately $800,000 versus $700,000 in the prior year. And again, it had a lot to do with the recovery of administration expenses on the Toys R Us bankruptcy versus what we wrote off last year. As far as net income, at $0.6 million versus approximately 0.2, that was a pickup due to the fact that we saw the full effect of the Tax Act and the reduction in our tax rate versus the prior year, which we had a blended rate and also had a write-down of a deferred tax asset because of that change mandated by the Tax Act. Just a couple of highlights from the balance sheet. As I mentioned earlier, we were at $8.5 million in inventory last year, a lot having to do with the Toys R Us excess inventory and excess from an additional customer. We were able to bring that down $2.5 million to $6 million. So we're back on track with the inventory. Again, we had to sacrifice a little bit of additional co-op marketing costs to do that, but it was a successful program, and we moved through that inventory. Our accounts payable is half of what it was last year, 1.6 last year versus 800,000 this year. Again, the cash generated from inventory allowed us to pay off all of our vendors, and we did not have to purchase as much inventory this year, which led to our accounts payable being somewhat lower. A couple of years ago, we took out a term loan to help pay down debt to our parent company. I'm happy to report that term note, which was $1 million, picked up a couple of years ago, was finally fully paid as of May 2nd. So the only debt left on the books at the end of the year basically was the subordinated debt or the remaining debt to the parent company. We did not make any payments on that subordinated debt due to some of the cash flow issues driven by the Toys R Us problem, but it is our intention this year to move ahead and take out as much of the remaining debt as possible so that hopefully in the coming year we will be close to debt-free. That is my report. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Lionel. At this point, we want to turn the call over to Bernardo Mello, who's going to give us a bit of an update in terms of sales and marketing for the year.
Hello, everyone. I'll start by echoing what Lionel said on Toys R Us. You know, Toys R Us was a key account for us, and part of the thing that we were a little surprised last year was that, you know, some of the business was just gone. It wasn't picked up by the Amazons of the world or the Target or the Walmarts. In terms of our product assortment, you know, Toys R Us represented about 12 to 16 feet of linear retail space for us, which was key. But, you know, we knew that could be the possibility, so we really invested in spreading out our distribution to different type of retailers, different countries, making it a true global brand. And although a lot of them were small tests, you know, we started the relationships on maybe a one SKU or two SKU basis. You know, they're going to take full fruition here in fiscal 2020. But, you know, so I just want to highlight that, you know, although Toys R Us is out, we still had a strong sell-through, you know, for, by all means, our sell-through was strong during the fourth quarter. You know, we, during the holiday season, we had 90% sell-through from Walmart, from Costco, Sam's Club, JCPenney, that we started, you know, the relationship, last year with two different, SKUs that we put in there. And they had a huge success, and this year they're expanding that assortment. So we still saw strong sell-through throughout, but we saw the conservative, you know, the retailers acting really conservative with the way that they were approaching the additional, you know, the trying to take on the Toys R Us business. You know, so we did have some cleanup to do with some inventory, like Lionel mentioned. Our strategy and product, it changed a bit. Instead of trying to carry 25 to 30 different active SKUs, we're trying to cut that down, make sure that we hit on the real popular items, that have shown the strongest sell-through. And we're continuing to replenish some of our current retailers with those strong items so that they, experience even better sell-through than last year. So I just want to highlight some of the customers that we did obtain, or the different departments that we did obtain. So JCPenney, we launched last year, like I said, strong sell-through. 2019, but fiscal 2020, we're going to continue a program with them. We started our distribution not only with Walmart Toys, but now we started a small test with Walmart Consumer Electronic Department, which could potentially be even as big as the toy department. So that will continue again this year. We became really strong with some of the regional accounts or the independent mom and pops through our distribution agreement with Alliance. So now you can find us in all regional toy stores or regional, or mom and pop toy stores without sort of the risk of collecting payment because we're protected by doing it through a distributor. So that relationship continues to grow. We started to penetrate some of the department stores like Dillard's and Nordstrom, who are continuing to support the brand this year. You know, we launched again with Spain. They had really good sell-through. They've already committed for this year. Australia is looking to expand their business with us this year by introducing the line to retailers in Australia like Target, like Big W, like Costco. So we're finally penetrating some of those big customers in Australia and getting back in there. We launched with Italy this year, Prenatal, which is, pretty big retailers with about 600 stores across Italy, France, and Germany. Our business with Smith's Toys, which is the number one toy store in Europe now, that continues to grow with about 6 feet of space. Signed a new distribution agreement with the Nordics. So now we will be in Finland and in Denmark, so all the Nordic countries, and specialty stores like Party City and supermarkets have started to look at the line, especially with the introduction of one of our new licenses that I'll let Gary talk about. We continue our branding strategy and our marketing strategy and making us a complete global brand. Now, you know, our website is translated in multiple languages. We're supporting all the different countries that we're in now with our branding, with our marketing, with our social media, support. So that is key for us to continue to grow the company organically. Now we're looking at how do we diversify some of the product with different licenses. So we've attended again the licensing show this year, and we're starting conversations on how do we continue to expand on the major license that we have. And you know, not to plug, but today is our official carpool launch, which is which is key. Our pre-sale starts today, and then it'll hit the streets July 15th. You should also see a lot of coverage on this with a lot of the publications. We did a media tour recently for the Carpool Karaoke, and we got coverage from Forbes, Family Circle, Martha Stewart, Parents, Engadget, U.S. Weekly, Pop Sugar, CBS News, Entertainment Tonight, Elle, Today Show, and 17. So we are putting a lot of PR out there with this, and we're all excited about what it could do. We're going to be, if any of you guys are in San Diego in mid-July, we're going to be at Comic-Con with a full customer activation, which we'll be doing a lot of that this year. So we'll be there for 4 days, having people experience it firsthand, with the ability to purchase right on site, either through our website or through our partners with Amazon, Best Buy, or Target, amongst others. So, you know, we are really excited about, you know, how the year is starting to shape out. It's not easy. The tariff situation has put a snag on some things, but finally it got cleared up over the weekend, and we think that now is back to normal business, because we are not affected by any other tariffs talk anymore. So with that being said, I'll turn it over back to Gary, who will give you a little bit more information on what's going on, and I'll be available for questions later.
Perfect. Thank you, Bernardo. I just want to be mindful of time, because we do have a question and answer session a little later. So I'm going to just wrap up with some final thoughts. Like Bernardo touched upon, the tariff situation had been casting a lot of doubt over this year. A lot of our retailers and supply chain manufacturers had been almost in a panic about what the tariff situation would do, not just to us, but to the entire toy industry and really every other importer that manufactures product in China. So we've been having a harder time than usual in terms of getting purchase orders released by retailers, because nobody really knew what was going to happen. And 25% tariff was something that was just too large to absorb and would have to have been passed on to the end consumer. So we were very relieved this weekend when we saw that Trump and China's Xi had decided to put a truce on tariffs. That should now open up some doors with the retailers to get the last final purchase orders in for the balance of this year. So that's great news for us moving forward. So as of right now, we are not affected by any new tariffs for the time being. The other last final thought I wanted to leave you guys with is with the Carpool Karaoke presale announcement that just came out this morning. We're very excited about it. We're already seeing early orders that are already flowing in, and that's just with us having made the announcement about an hour ago. So that's a good start, a good sign for things to come. It remains to be one of the hottest, most exciting product launches, licenses that we've been a part of in the last 10 years. It really started at Toy Fair when we announced a trade, just getting a lot of buzz and excitement, and it's continued all the way now through to pre-sale announcement and retail launch, which will be July 15th with Best Buy. So we are expecting Carpool to be distributed in every single major retailer starting this year. Target, Walmart, obviously Best Buy, Amazon, all major e-commerce sites will be carrying Carpool Karaoke for this coming year. So we're really excited to see where it could go. We think it could be huge. With the key is just getting enough word out to the general consumer population. But we think it has the capability of really taking off. So with that being said, I think we kind of went over our time a little bit, but I do want to open it up for question and answer. So we'll conclude our portion of the program and turn it over to you guys.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. And we can pause a few moments to allow questions to enter the queue. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. And we can take our first question from Ethan Starr. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Sounds like very good things are happening there. I'm curious, with the carpool karaoke and the voice licenses and more international distribution, is it reasonable to expect higher sales this holiday season?
Hi, good morning, Ethan. Like Lionel said, Toys R Us is now officially in the rearview mirror. We are expecting some great things from carpool karaoke, so without giving guidance, which we tend to not like to do, I think it would be fair to assume that we should see an increase in sales this year.
Okay. And how many doors will the – any idea how many doors the carpool karaoke and the voice products will be in, both initially and at holiday season?
Probably for carpool.
For carpool karaoke, I mean, pretty much all of our partners are bringing it in, except for those that make their decisions way, way earlier, like, you know, Sam's Club and Costco, who are still looking to maybe test it out. But almost everybody jumped on it, domestically. We have some in Canada that jumped on it, and also in the UK, we have a big, big push in the UK, Germany, and Ireland with Smith's Toys and Selfridges and Amazon.com in Europe. So and also Australia jumped on it too. So, you know, we're pretty excited about it, as most of our major partners did pick it up, and that's by Target and Walmart, which are three of our good partners. All three picked it up.
Okay. Are you on social media with Carpool Karaoke? Because I know the show is certainly on there. But
yeah, we do have an Instagram page that we launched, Carpool Karaoke the Mic, and that's also the same hashtag. You'll see that. We've also made a decision not to compete with Carpool Karaoke too much, because Carpool Karaoke already has much more of a following than the individual mic does. So we are picking back on some of the relevancy from Carpool Karaoke. We're also picking back with CBS, who's going to do some announcements and some posts on their part as well. So yeah, you'll see a lot of lot of social media on it. We've carved out a significant investment for social media, for YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and also AdWords and influencers and customer activations. So we're going to be like in concerts. So for example, the next one is New Kids on the Block here in Miami, where we partnered up with iHeartRadio to do an activation there. And we'll have digital ads all over the iHeartRadio app, which has over 200 million users. So yeah, I mean, we do have, this is our biggest investment in terms of PR and marketing that we've done with a product launch in a very long time.
Okay, and the voice, it sounds like it won't be quite as big, but still be quite exciting.
Yeah, the voice, the challenge with the voice that we ran into this year, it is a very exciting show. I mean, it's consistently the number one watched show on across all networks at that same time slot. So there's obviously a huge following for it, but in terms of getting retailers excited, it's been a bit more of a challenge, especially this year with Disney coming out with Frozen 2. There's just so many new hot movies that are coming out, and this year was a struggle with the voice, mainly because a lot of retailers had committed to carrying or allocating a lot of shelf space for Frozen 2. So I think the voice, while it is exciting and it still is a very relevant show, we had trouble with it getting a lot of retail shelf space for this year.
Yeah, and then I'll touch up on that as well. It's not only Frozen 2. Disney has about five or six movies that are dropping this year. So you have Aladdin, you have Frozen 2, Toy Story 4, new Star Wars, Dumbo dropped too. So they have about four or five movies. So the licensing market is a little bit saturated this year, which is fine, because I think that it will bring some foot traffic to the retailers, and that could bounce back the youth electronic segment. But also, one of the things that we struggle with the voice is we didn't want to label slap. So we've taken the slow approach in developing a unique item that has an element of the show attached to it. So we did preview that at CES. But we've been in talks with a third-party app by the name of Yoki, which is now owned by Stingray, who was doing the app for the voice, as to how we could incorporate the whole experience into a product. So that's also been, you know, us taking our time with this product launch.
Okay, great. And then one last question. I see you're getting a new ERP system. I guess it's the first time you've ever had one, and I'm just wondering, hopefully it won't cause any problems as far as distribution or any other hiccups and stuff.
No, we do have an ERP system right now, but it's older, and it's there's a lot newer technology out there. So even though we're going to be switching the brand of ERP system that we have, it's just really upgrading what we have to the latest and greatest technology that's out there to help us internally.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I wish you good luck, and it sounds like good things are happening. I am looking forward to great sales, hopefully.
Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We can take our next question from Mike Schillinger with MicroCapCo. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. I just wanted to put a finer point on the tariff discussion. So can you comment, are any of your products currently getting a tariff from China? And then where is the risk of tariffs with respect to your customers?
Sure, Mike, so we can address that. So right now, there was a list number 4 that was proposing to tariff $300 billion worth of goods made in China, and that would have basically encapsulated everything that wasn't previously tariffed by the current administration. So it would have tariffed all of the toy industry, all consumer electronics made in China. So we would have been swept into that had that tariff gone into effect. So right now, currently, the answer to your question is no. None of our products are currently tariffed, and right now it doesn't look like they will be tariffed for the time being until we find out what happens now with China and the U.S. and their ongoing trade talks. But Trump did come out over the weekend and made an announcement that he would basically be having a truce with China and no new tariffs would go into effect for the immediate future.
Okay. So, and then, like, say for some reason a tariff did come into effect, are your agreements such that the cost of that would then, you know, if there's an order that's say in shipment, would the cost of that then apply to the customer as opposed to you, or who bears that cost?
Well, the person who imports from China bears the cost. So in cases where the retailer picks up from China, FOB China, they would be responsible for the tariff. But in instances where we bring it in domestically and we ship from our California warehouse, we would be responsible for the tariff. So if it were to come into effect, and we've already kind of had these negotiations preemptively with our retailers, we would look to pass on as much of the tariff as we could to the retailers.
Okay. Sounds like you're in a pretty good place with that. So that sounds great. And then regarding Carpool Karaoke, so you've been doing pre-orders. So obviously there's been some pretty good demand, before even launching that you're going to do pre-orders. Can you comment on your, what your purchases of products sort of imply for revenue for that product thus far? And then sort of also what is your capacity as you understand the reality of the demand for that to grow that ordering this year? Are you kind of set for, what you can ship this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. In terms of our internal forecast for Carpool, I mean, it is, we do have a 3-year deal in place with CBS. So we kind of want to start off a little bit conservatively because we know that if we don't meet all of the demand this year, we still have another 2 years plus to continue to roll out product. We have internally forecasted a couple hundred thousand units that we have already gone and committed to our manufacturers to produce for the year. And we're feeling pretty confident that most, if not all of that, will be absorbed by the retailers that we have commitments with. So, you know, to give you a vague number, I mean, a couple hundred thousand units that we're forecasting for this year, but the potential could be huge. I mean, if we were to be able to work out a deal with James Corden and the Late Late Show to feature the microphone in, you know, one of his popular segments, then the sky's the limit. I mean, you could easily look at, you know, 500,000 to 1 million units in any given year if we could get that kind of exposure. So again, we're starting conservatively. We don't want to end up with too much inventory, but a lot of it depends on these early reads. If we start seeing really strong sell-through, we start seeing really a lot of excitement and ordering at Comic-Con later this month, there's still time for us to turn around and place more orders to the factories to produce more, but we feel pretty confident with the number we have right now.
Okay, great. Thanks. Those are all my questions.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Again, appreciate everyone taking the time this morning. I know it's the July 4 week, so a lot of people are on vacation, but we do appreciate spending the time to listen to our discussion of the year end. We look forward to talking to everyone again in our first quarter and look for good things to come. So take care. Thank you.